Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Y'all need to look long and hard about what happened last week. There were sunshine violations, charter violations, and my First Amendment was violated. And we can argue about that all day long. We can smirk about it, Mr. Snow. But y'all have an opportunity before you to make sure that the public has their opportunity to speak as your charter says we should.
Now, normally, I don't get a lot of opportunities to agree with Pam Mitchell, one of the founding members of the Pitchfork Posse. And though I always think it's humorous when the public is on smirk patrol and they're reacting to the facial gestures or lack of attention, eyes averted or smiles they might perceive to be on various faces of council members or city attorney Alex Andrade, who was not present at this particular meeting. But at the Milton City Council meeting, I did agree with Pam Mitchell, at least in principle. I don't know that I would call it a violation of her First Amendment rights. But the basic thing, if you'll recall, and maybe you don't, that's why I'm here to tell you the story, is that Mike Cusack, one of the city council members, had been on the finance committee. He had been the representative to that committee. And this all going back to the whole brouhaha with Scott Collins and the fighting between Heather Lindsay and Alex Andrade and over, you know, and Mike Collins over and Mike Cusack over his interference with and complete destruction of the deal with Scott Collins by his own bad behavior and sunshine violations. And he's now got an ethics violation against him that, you know, so that's kind of the backdrop. So as a result of that, Jeff Snow, city council member and a constant adversary of Mike Cusack, said, I think that he ought not to be on the finance committee anymore because he's got an ethics violation against him. We shouldn't have a guy in charge of the finance stuff if he's got an ethics violation against him. They added that to the menu agenda, and then they voted on that, and they did remove him. But in the meantime, Pam Mitchell had gotten up in the meeting and said, hey, I want to talk about this, and she was ruled out of order and not allowed to speak, and then the chief of police had to come and just kind of walk with her out the room. And that's really what happened. It wasn't forcible or anything like that. He just said, hey, come with me, and so they left. She wasn't allowed to speak on the subject because the city of Milton has gone into a process where they only allow public comment before the meeting and not on the individual items throughout the meeting. Well, this was different because it was an add-on. And the public felt like, hey, we ought to have a chance to speak about this when it comes up. And I agreed. I thought they should, too, and which is why I don't agree with the basic process of telling the public that they can't talk during the agenda. They have to talk ahead of time. I think that's a terrible way to approach these things, but that's what Milton has done. Well, okay, so she says, look, I wasn't given a chance to speak. That's a I would say it's a violation of her sunshine rights, quite frankly. I don't think it's a violation of her First Amendment rights because the First Amendment doesn't guarantee that you get to speak on every agenda item in any city council meeting in the United States. It's a much broader notion of public redress of grievances and so forth. Anyway, so the attorney, George Mead, who was there while Alex was out for the week, was talking about this, and he said,
the public has a right to make whatever comment it wishes in a public forum to the council. That's why we have set up a public forum, which isn't limited by agenda. The public can speak to whatever they want to address the council, and that opportunity is given. When it comes to agenda items, the council discusses the agenda item. It may receive public comment, but if it is not necessarily going to take action in that meeting on the question, it is the proposal to take action that triggers the duty under the law for the council to receive public comment before it takes that action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so if they're just discussing the public, like a committee of the whole or an agenda review, the public doesn't have to get a chance to comment. But if they're going to take action, the public does have to have a chance to comment. Now, by the way, there had been this claim that they were allowed because it was added in the review before and then the public would have had a chance before. But, okay, it's best practice stuff, right? And best practice is if you have an add-on and you're going to do this, public can't talk during the meeting, you should at least give them a chance to talk when that add-on comes up because it is different. Anyway, Casey Powell, who runs a lot of these meetings, he's the, what is his title? I forget, but he's the one who runs the meetings when Heather Lindsay isn't there or when a meeting isn't supposed to be run by her.
If it's on the agenda and we're going to vote on it,
yes,
we have to allow comment at that time. We can't say we've had the opportunity to comment at the beginning of the meeting.
No, you cannot. There has to be a meaningful.
That's the audience clapping.
The law requires there be a meaningful opportunity for public comment that is germane to the subject matter of the action.
So any action
prior to it being taken.
Any action item based on these expressions would require a period for public input.
Okay. That was not what we got from our previous city manager, so that was following that agenda item.
Yeah, so in the future, what they're going to do, it sounds to me like they're going to do, is if there's add-ons, they're going to allow public comment at the time, which is what they should do. I mean, that's really the right thing. Whether the other would constitute a violation, I think, is open to discussion. But in terms of best practice, and especially in a high participation and expectation environment like Milton, that's actually a good thing. So, see, even somebody I rarely wind up agreeing with, I can take their side if they have the right of it. And I did think that she did have the right of it in this case. 6:16 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking pretty good on our roadways this morning, not showing any major accidents or slowdowns. Just some traffic building up there on Palafox Street going southbound right at the Fairfield and Tahar intersection. If you're coming in from Perdido Key, Gulf Beach Highway is looking clear. Gulf Breeze and Navarre, Highway 98 is clear into Pensacola. And Pace and Milton, you are good to go all the way through Highway 90. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at @PColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
What can I say? I'm a spy.
News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. A couple of just interesting little notes. One is that Florida lawmakers are proposing a flood insurance tax deduction, which is kind of weird. I guess that would be at the federal level because it would be on your income taxes, right? Not for your general insurance for your home, which, man, do that. You know, like that would be nice. But flood insurance specifically would be a deduction, which I guess would be, you know, that it'd be a congressional thing. And we'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, you've got it's a smallish sort of announcement, but I think these things are sort of indicative of where the heart or spirit or mind or decisions of the government are at, however you want to characterize it. And they made a decision to protect some farmland, not in our county, but in another county, $329,000 to limit future development on its 160-acre cattle and row crop farm in Dixie County. So the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services approved the deal with the Holyfield family farm for a conservation easement. Remember, we talked about this, the various ways you might protect farmland. You could have conservation easements or agricultural easements or transfer development rights, you know, lots of different things you could do. So just, you know, it's a small enough note, but something interesting. The proposed state budget includes $100 million for rural and family land protection program. $100 million, which in the grand scheme of the amount of farmland that maybe needs protecting, that's not a lot, but $100 million is better than zero, right? So just, you know, some movement, it seems like, in Tallahassee towards protecting farmland, which is good. 620 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne has got our headlines in the newsroom. David?
President Biden preparing to meet with families of police officers that were shot and killed in the line of duty this week in North Carolina. On Monday, those officers were killed attempting to serve a warrant in Charlotte. Another four officers were shot and injured at that time. President Biden will be meeting with the families on today when he's in North Carolina. The House passing legislation aiming to crack down on anti-Semitism that passed 320-91. And this, of course, as pro-Palestinian protests continue to pop up on college campuses throughout the country. The bill requires the Department of Education to adopt the definition of anti-Semitism used by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance in its enforcement of anti-discrimination laws. That bill's chances in the Senate are not clear.
That's the idea that if you don't acknowledge the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish country, then you are described as anti-Semitic, right? That's the
yes.
way that, okay.
Yeah, that's what that is. And then Ford recalling 240,000 Maverick pickup trucks. Apparently, they have some type of a taillight issue that causes them to not work. The recall impacting Maverick trucks from 2022 until this year. So if you've got one of those, you might be getting a notice in the mail.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 622 News Radio Pensacola. We've got some interesting military news notes. One is that the Ospreys are back in the air for all services now. The Air Force had been the latest one to put their CV-22s or V-22s back up in the air. That's the tilt rotor vertical takeoff and landing plane with the big old rotors that makes a lot of noise, but it had various issues over the years, and it most recently had some severe issues. And you know, so they had been grounded for, 3 months, I think, and the Marines and the Navy had put theirs back up in the air. The Air Force has finally got theirs back up in the air. Now, I did think it was interesting in thinking about this, because I think we think a lot about these safety issues for airframes because of, obviously, our close connections with the aviation community. And all of your Marine and Navy Osprey pilots would train at Whiting Field, right? They would go through Whiting because that's where they learn how to do, rotators, right? Helicopters. And many of them would have gone through Whiting twice, you know, one for primary instruction and then again for the tilt rotor or for the rotors anyway. So one of the things about this, they said, is Lieutenant Colonel Rebecca Hayes, Air Force Special Operations Command spokeswoman. So think about, you know, AFSOC would be Hurlburt, right? So as each aircraft is cleared, they're going to go one at a time and see if it's ready to go. Our air crew will immediately commence flight operations. As of today, several aircraft have conducted functional flight checks, the first step in resuming flying operations. So they're going one at a time, checking over them as they put them back into service. My thought was, we still don't exactly know what caused the problem. They think they've identified it down to a part, but Marine Corps Colonel Brian Taylor tells Military.com that he's the program manager for the V-22s. He says that we have high confidence that we understand what component failed and how it failed. I think we're still working on the why, noting that this is the first time that we've seen this particular component fail in this way. So they know where the failure is. They're not quite sure why it fails. So my thought is, okay, if you don't know why it's failing, then how can you test for whether it's going to fail since you don't know for sure what's causing the problem? And, you know, kind of reminds me of the OBOGS problems, the onboard oxygen generation system that we had with, like, the T-45s, the Goshawks flying out of NES Pensacola a couple of years ago. Remember, it was like this problem, like, we couldn't figure out where the problem was, and you know, people were passing out because they couldn't get enough oxygen. And so, you know, they did finally fix it. It's been fixed for several years now. That's good. But anyway, the Ospreys are very important to the future of the Navy. They're going to replace the they're supposed to replace the planes that go, you know, out to the carrier. The COD, they call it. So this is a very important air platform. There's also a whole renovation process going on with the CV-22, which is that even though they recognize that the basic body of the thing is almost indestructible and they can keep that forever, they're looking at replacing, you know, the engines, the rotors. So the revamp program, it's the Renewed V-22 Aircraft Modernization Program, which is basically starting with the question, if we had to do it all over again, what would we do different? And then how can we transition to that in the future? But this is a platform that you're going to be looking at having in service for the various Air Force, Navy, Marines for the next like 40 years, going through 2060, 2070. I mean, that's the kind of time frame they're talking about for this thing. They're not making any more new ones, but they are hoping to keep those in service, kind of like we have the B-52s and, you know, F-15s and 16s in service for decades and decades and decades. 625 News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are seeing a lot of fog outside this morning, and that is causing some slowdowns on the roadways. Just a little bit, if you're going south on North Palafox Street, you can expect to be slowed down a little bit on the Tahar Drive intersection there. And if you're heading through East Hill, going north on 9th Ave, we are seeing some slowdowns through there. If you're coming in...
Did you say 9th Ave?
9th Ave.
I love it.
9th Ave.
I love it.
Right. And if you're coming in from Pacer Milton, we are starting to see some traffic building up on the bridge there coming into Pensacola, so be wary of that. Again, just some heavy fog this morning, so drive with caution. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
You and the Ave are like close personal friends.
Me and the, yeah, we're on a nickname basis.
I like it. What else do we have going on? Oh, I had mentioned there were a couple of military stories. One, the other one was that there might be a future new mission for the littoral combat ship, the LCSs, like the ones that are made over in Austell, in Mobile. They make half of them. I think, what is it, the Freedom class is made in Austell and the Independence class is made in New England somewhere. Anyway, so they're looking to reassign them toward minesweeping duties. Remember, this is the nickname for this ship is the little crappy ship. It's a very expensive, and they're already getting rid of them, basically. And they've had, you know, God, engine transmission problems in one version. I think the Independence class and then the Freedom class had hull cracking problems. I mean, like, this is really not a good project. But they think maybe they've got them to be retasked towards, at least some of them to be retasked towards minesweeping use, which certainly important. I would think also anti-drone. Particularly sea-based drones, which is kind of this ongoing developing problem that we're learning more and more about all the time. 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the other? Oh, interesting note, the Supreme Court has passed on whether it's going to review the requirement in Texas to be 18 to view online porn. Remember, we passed this law here in Florida. Texas has had this law in place for a little bit longer, and it requires you to prove that you're 18 years old before you can go to any website where more than what I think the metric is one third of its content is pornographic, I think is the how you decide who's in or who's out in the classification. Anyway, so really nobody has publicly objected to this. You know, there was no dissent. I think Texas passed it unanimously. We passed it unanimously or close to. I don't remember exactly. It was real close to, if not actually unanimous. And, you know, there's nobody that's come out in favor of kids getting access to porn. But the American Civil Liberties Union, do tell, and some pornography industry representatives, also no surprise, went to the Supreme Court and said, hey, this is a violation of First Amendment. And the Supreme Court just kind of said pass for now. That doesn't mean they wouldn't review it in the future. That's not a ruling that the law is constitutional. That's a decision that, move away, pesky fly. We don't need to deal with you right now. We got too many other things that we're dealing with. Remember, the Supreme Court can decline and decline and decline and then later take up a case. They actually do that quite frequently. That wouldn't be all that surprising if they decided to do it. Got a note. I was reading some articles about the abortion ban, not in Florida, but in Georgia. The Wall Street Journal had a really interesting article about this, talking about what Florida can learn from Georgia's 6-week abortion ban. And the short takeaway is if you think this is going to eliminate abortions in the state of Florida, Georgia would show that's not the case, because you can still secure one inside of 6 weeks or after 6 weeks up to 15 weeks with, you know, evidence that there was a rape or that there was incest or that the life of the mother is at stake or that you're involved in trafficking. You know, there are still up to 15 weeks, some allowances. But what Georgia experienced was about a one-half reduction, about a 50% reduction in abortions. So Florida has been the destination where people have been going because other states have been more restrictive. So I would expect two things we'd see in Florida in the next year or two. Number one, the overall number of abortions will go down because now that we're even with the other states, we won't see what people are calling abortion tourism. So the number is going to go down anyway. The number past that is going to go down to about 50% of what it had been. And if you're wondering what that number is, in 2023, there were 84,000 abortions performed in Florida, according to the ACA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration. The vast majority, 76,000 in the first 12 weeks of the first trimester. So 40,000-ish, maybe, will be prevented, but that still means that maybe 35 or 40,000 will be performed.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Police in riot gear moving in to break up a pro-Palestinian encampment at UCLA, taking protesters out.
And then periodically they're going to line them, you know, take five, six out at a time to waiting buses by the sheriff's department. And they're going to be arrested and they're actually going to be processed and booked. But I've seen some of the students trying to hide their faces from me, maybe hide them from their parents who might be watching.
Fox's William Lloyd Jeunesse. The House passes the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act.
Republican New York Congressman Mike Lawler on the House floor.
In every generation, the Jewish people have been scapegoated, harassed, evicted from their homeland, and murdered.
A bipartisan group of 91 Republicans and Democrats believe the bill went too far.
They say it infringes on free speech. That was Fox's Ryan Schmelz. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 69 degrees, very foggy out there. Be careful if you're on your morning commute. Of course, we'll get our update with Jimmy and our traffic on the fives in a couple of minutes. The Santa Rosa School District revising their media policy in order to better deal with book reviews and challenges.
Instead of the complaints being filed with the principal at a school, have a centralized location for the receipt of complaints. So that's been a change in the current draft.
That is School Board Attorney Terry Harmon from last month's meeting. The revised policy calling for objections to be submitted to the district's library media staff using the standard Florida Department of Education objection form. Harmon says that policy allows for a streamlined process in the event that an individual makes multiple challenges. Harmon says rather than requiring multiple committee meetings and board hearings, those challenges could be consolidated into one meeting. Well, temperatures are on the way up, nearly 90 by this weekend, and an important reminder, one of the leading causes of non-crash vehicle-related deaths for kids is heat stroke from being left in a hot car. Highway safety specialist Laura Dunn says even when it's only 60 degrees outside, a child's body temperature can rise to 107 or higher.
Children have a lesser ability to regulate their thermoregulatory system. They're more at risk for heat stroke than adults.
And Dunn is reminding parents to stop, look, lock to avoid those tragic preventable deaths. Florida's had 117 child hot car deaths since 1990. Well, Florida ranking at the bottom of a national list when it comes to teacher pay. We get more from Joe Ford.
That's from the largest teachers union in the country, the National Education Association, as they released its newest data on salaries this week. They put Florida in 50th place in the nation for the average teacher salary at just over $53,000. The state does fare a little bit better in terms of the average starting salary at just over $47,000, good for 16th in the country. The number one spot overall went to California, where teachers make more than $95,000. During Florida's last legislative session, a House bill aimed at raising the base salary for teachers to $65,000 quickly stalled out. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. There's always a project at the Pensacola International Airport. That from Airport Director Matt Coughlin. One of their latest projects is expanding parking capacity.
It's going to be paid. It's going to have revenue control equipment. So we're going to be adding 450 stalls over there, and that should, you know, that'll buy us some time. So thing about airports is it's just a constant project. It's one project or another, and it's to meet that demand. So,
and that new parking lot will be at the former grass lot at the airport. Coughlin also commented on the terminal expansion project not being approved for federal funding recently. He says there's a good chance they just weren't far enough along in the project at the time to meet those requirements yet, but they'll be reapplying later this year as the design work continues on that. Florida fighting back against what Governor Ron DeSantis is calling a plan by the global elite. The governor yesterday signed a law banning the sale of lab-grown meat. DeSantis says Florida is taking action to stop the World Economic Forum's goal of forcing the world to eat lab-grown meat and insects. He's accusing the global elites of trying to force the world to eat the meat grown in a Petri dish or bugs to achieve what he called authoritarian goals. 6:35 now, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
We are not seeing much thanks to this fog. We are under dense fog advisory through 9 a.m., so please drive with caution on the roadways. We are seeing a little bit of a slowdown heading north on North Palafox Street and right through the Tahar and Fairfield intersections there. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze or Navarre, you can expect to see some slight delay right at the Avalon intersection. And if you are coming in to Pensacola using I-10 westbound from Milton, you can expect to see some slight delay on the Escambia Bay Bridge due to some debris in the roadway, so be cautious of that. Otherwise, looking good here in Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road this morning, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be under a dense fog advisory for the morning hours. Fog should clear up by late morning, high near 81 degrees, partly sunny skies. As we go overnight tonight, we will have mostly cloudy skies, low near 68. For Friday, high near 82, partly sunny, and Friday night temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
All right. Apparently some audio issues there with our weather forecast, but right now 69 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Novo Nordisk has beat first quarter profit expectations as demand for weight loss medications boomed. The Danish pharmaceutical giant reported profit rose 28% year-over-year. Sales of the popular weight loss drug Wegovy more than doubled to $8.5 million. Novo Nordisk raised its outlook for this year, nudging its sales growth outlook range 1 percentage point higher. 3 in 4 Americans say that tipping culture has gone too far. Domino's thinks it has the answer. The pizza giant is launching a You Tip, We Tip promotion that runs through mid-September. Every order with a $3 or more tip will get a $3 credit for a future online delivery order. The pizza chain said it is to encourage tipping and bring customers back for future orders. Futures are moderately higher following the Fed's meeting. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 87, the NASDAQ down 52, the S&P 500 down 17. That's Your Money Now.
This ad furnished by Nesmontage LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Severe weather can strike at any time. At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Silent footsteps crowding me. Sudden darkness, but I can see. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me.
We vetted everything. I mean, because basically we've had an attorney that's basically said that it's going to end up in court. And to me, you know, we tend to be there a lot, but I tend to avoid that. We spend so much money in legal fees that it's ridiculous. And sometimes false accusations, you have to spend your own personal money when you get false accusations. So I experience it. I get exactly the recommendation. It's purely our decision, but I just want to get a legal opinion as well because we are knee deep into lawsuits, and none of us have ever gone to law school. And so we end up in these frivolous lawsuits or courts. If we didn't pay it, what happens, Kristen? I mean, could she repeal it? Would we end up court in your time and lawyer's time? I mean, we've already spent $5,000 talking about it today. I mean, if you count up the hours of the staff in here and what we pay lawyers and sitting here, it's more than $5,000.
I adamantly agree with that. I mean, you add up the staff time in the room.
Oh, so. Yeah. But we'll take a lot of staff time just to attack people, you know. We do that. Yeah, we don't mind if we're spending legal fees to attack people. Well, that happens every day around here.
Very interesting comments by Commissioner Lumen May, District 3, in the last Escambia County Commission meeting. Of course, they have a meeting today. But this was part of it had to do with a different topic, a real estate subject. And then I forget if it was a zoning or a vacation or an easement or whatever, but it doesn't really matter for our present purposes. But the first comment he made had to do with that. And then the other comments all had to do with, you remember the Kate Kinney payment of her attorney's fees of $5,000? She was the person that had, you know, gotten charges, and then she had entered a pre-diversion or a pretrial diversion program, and, you know, Commissioner Bergosh had taken up for her and wanted to pay her like he had wanted to pay several other people, all connected to the EMS problems with, you know, staffing and inappropriate certifications and Ramey Edler, just kind of giving you a little bit of context on this stuff. Anyway, Lumen, in that, this was the one where where Mike Kohler and Jeff Bergosh had gotten into the back and forth bickering over who was drunk calling whom over which sunshine violation. You know, that's what this conversation was. And the board eventually did decide to pay those fees, but Lumen said, I'm just, again, over and over again, I'm frustrated with all of these cases we're involved in, these controversies, these legal fees situations where we seem to keep losing, and including that last comment's very telling.
But we'll take a lot of staff time just to attack people, you know? We do that. Yeah, we don't mind if we're spending legal fees to attack people. That happens every day around here.
That's a very interesting comment, because today you have a shade meeting for the Escambia County Commission. If you don't know these terms, it's okay. The agenda review is this morning, where they're going to talk about what they're going to talk about tonight. And in between, at 3 and at 3:30, they have two shade meetings. A shade meeting is a meeting of the county commissioners where they tell you we're going to have a meeting and talk about a subject, but because it's a lawsuit-related thing and, you know, you do not have to tell the opponent what your legal strategy is, they're going to have it in private. But eventually, when the lawsuit is resolved, we'll be able to go back and at least get the transcript from that, or the minutes from that. But for now, we only know that they're talking. And, you know, the last time they did this, they came out of that meeting and they suddenly took a vote on paying, you know, some. So they may come out of that meeting today and actually go into the regular meeting and have possibly as many as two votes, because the two different subjects they're dealing with today, one is having to do with the fraud issues related to Remy Edler's lawsuit against the county. And then the other one is the Replevin, the text messages, the PNJ, Alex Arduini and Jonathan Owens. The, you know, what I think is a personal lawsuit by Jeff Bergosh using county resources to recover copies of digital materials that he and the county are both in possession of. So what's interesting about that case is that, and by the way, I think also the Remy, I think they're going to wind up paying in at least the Remy Edler case. I think that's going to wind up be the outcome there. But in the text messages case, we're in a very interesting place, because if it is determined that that lawsuit is inappropriate, is either just unjustified and you didn't have a reasonable expectation of winning, or eventually if it becomes a slap lawsuit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation, which is designed to silence critics of the government, and it's illegal in the state of Florida and there can be consequences if you're found to violate it. So those lawsuits, there's been motions to apply for the penalties and get those cases dismissed and penalties applied by Jonathan Owens and the PNJ. Those demand letters, so to speak, were filed 19 days ago, or actually 20 days ago. 21 days is tomorrow. The reason that's important is because in these matters, if they don't reply within 21 days, that's admitting they have to pay. And this is a case where not just the county would have to pay, but the lawyer, in this case Steve West for the county, would be personally on the hook for half of the lawyer's fees for Alex Arduini, the PNJ, and Jonathan Owens. That's part of the way this whole thing is structured. So the shade meetings today involve both the Replevin claim, the text messages, that's all connected, the conversion, all that. And then the other one is the one with Remy Edler. So those are both in the shade today. We'll figure out what the county is going to do when they come out, and if they have a vote, we'll see. But they're right up against a deadline tomorrow. I was reading the filing that the PNJ and Jonathan Owens and Alex Arduini made, the demand letter again against this, and there's one interesting portion of this I'm going to read to you from the PNJ in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are under a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m., and this traffic map is a reflection of that. We are seeing a lot of slowdowns throughout Pensacola, Pace, and Milton area. In Pensacola, you can expect to have some slowdowns on Palafox Street going north, and the intersections of Tahar and Fairfield. And in Pace and Milton, traffic really building up on Woodbine and Chemukla in their respective intersections with Highway 90. Highway 90 showing some slowdowns across the bridge this morning, so expect delays there. Looking good coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, and looking good on Gulf Beach Highway coming in from Perdido. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line. This report sponsored by Indeed.com. Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. About the dense fog advisory, they're not likely to see anything else.
Excellent point.
I'm just messing with you. Okay, so back to what's going on in the county. So the text messages that Jeff Bergosh claims were stolen when he had his phone, when he locked himself out of his phone and he went to the county and said, here, unlock my phone, get the text messages, to preserve them. And then they were put on, you know, Jonathan Owen's desk. Somebody also gave them to the PNJ, unconnected to those two. Anyway, you remember this whole story, right? And in those text messages, a lot of very embarrassing things to Jeff Bergosh, some of which is private, some of which is public record and so forth. Okay. The PNJ and the attorneys for Jonathan Owens and Alex Arduini and the PNJ are all on basically the same page in terms of the things that they have said, which, for example, are that this is a completely silly lawsuit. It doesn't even fit the parameters of Replevin because the county is not a personality. It's an entity. It's not a personality. The text messages are still retained by Jeff Bergosh and by the county. Therefore, they can't be Replevin subject because it's not something you took from somebody else and they don't have access to it. The demand for the thumb drive is ridiculous because the thumb drive or the digital holder of the text messages is not something that the county owned in the first place that then needs to be returned to the county. So it's like every part of this case is weird. What you might find more interesting is this paragraph 19 the PNJ lawyers write. When boiled down, this case is about a vendetta. Oh, that's 100% true. Masquerading as a lawsuit concerning property interests, Commissioner Bergosh seeks to use taxpayer resources to invade PNJ's newsroom and violate the reporter's privilege under Section 90.5015 Florida statutes. I think that's accurate. And it's a weird notion of the law. And then they go on and they say the court must award sanctions and attorney's fees pursuant to 57-105 because the complaint is not supported by material facts or the application of existing law. This section protects litigants against claims or defenses that lack factual or legal support. In particular, one section states that the court shall award a reasonable attorney's fee, including prejudgment interest, to be paid to the prevailing party in equal amounts by the losing party, that'd be the county, and the losing party's attorney on any claim or defense at any time during a civil proceeding or action in which the court finds that the losing party or the losing party's attorney knew or should have known that a claim or defense when initially presented to the court or at any time before a trial was not supported by the material facts necessary to establish the claim or defense or would not be supported by the application of then existing law to those material facts. In other words, if you couldn't reasonably legally expect to win, you shouldn't have been filing the thing in the first place. And if that's true, then you're going to owe the attorney's fees for the defense. Now, as I understand it, and I could be wrong about this, they won't be subject to this penalty if they dismiss the lawsuit by tomorrow. Which I think is weird, because I think if you put them through the challenge of having to incur legal fees all this time, later on saying, oh, sorry, shouldn't get you out of it. But I think that's how this works. Now, they will still have, I think, recourse to the anti-SLAPP statutes, but, you know, that's a subsequent matter. This looks to me to be more like a summary judgment kind of thing, where if they don't respond within 21 days, they're automatically on the hook for it. I think that's how this is going to work. 437-1620, what's fascinating to me is to hear Lumen May's comments about how he's frustrated about all of these lawsuits and losing all this money and spending all this money. The agreement by both he and Stephen Barry, District 5, the chairman, that these lawsuits being used to get for personal reasons against other people, which sounds incredibly like the Bergosh Replevin thing, which they voted for, so they went along with it, that's wasting staff time and legal money, and they're frustrated about all of this. So I don't know what's going to come out of these discussions today. It's in the shade. That's the nature of the thing. But it ought to be kind of interesting. 652 on News Radio 92.3. There's all kinds of other stuff, by the way, going on at the county today in the meeting. I mean, some really, really interesting things. For example, the approval of the Bay Center renovations for $10 million through Tourism Development Council money. That's on today. In reading some of the materials about that, there's a note in here deep in the commentary that says, remember, $10 million. Okay, over the next couple of years, 4 years, I think it is. Yeah, 4 years, about $2 million a year. In existence for almost 40 years, the venue has only been allocated $200,000 for capital improvements on an annual basis since it opened in 1985. There have been some repairs done over the course of that time, HVAC renovation in 1996, fixed seating replacement in 2006, and then the $1.5 million they put in ahead of the Sunbelt Conference renovations for video boards, Wi-Fi, and point-of-sale systems. So that means that, like, you know, a very, very small amount of money has been spent on upkeep for that facility over the years, which now, you know, the bill has come due. Plus, if we want to actually upgrade it to future needs, that's going to be many, many more million dollars. But $10 million is like the bare minimum that we've got to spend just to keep the thing functioning. One of the other items that's going to be on here is a discussion of whether the Escambia Children's Trust is going to get an exemption from having to pay back to the county for the CRA, for the tax increment money that they got. Previously, Stephen Berry had dismissed this out of hand without wanting to talk about it. They're clearly going to have to schedule a public hearing to talk about it. And, you know, we'll have that conversation when we have it. And one small thing, you know how everybody's readjusting their American Rescue Plan dollars because of the deadline of the end of the year that the things have to be allocated or encumbered or committed, however you want to describe it. There's $11 million of American Rescue Plan money that the county is sort of shuffling around. Several of these are big ticket items, like the Divine Farms bridge replacement. Remember, that's the bridge that's been heavily degraded because of the trucks running back and forth to the borrow pit just north of I-10 and west of 97A. Then there's all the, you know, and there's big subdivisions back in there, and the bridge is functionally problematic. $4 million to replace that. $4 million for West Roberts Road construction and drainage. The Oakfield, Bellmead Pond, and Stormwater System for $2 million. So people who live in that area, it's a big deal. And the last little item on here I just found interesting. It's a small note, but $250,000 to demolish the county office building on North Palafox. This is the one when you drive by, it's got a fence outside, and it looks like a, it kind of looks like a small school on the west side of the road, but $250,000 to demolish that building that's been out of use for quite some time. So, like I said, lots of interesting stuff going on in the county commission meeting today. The most controversial of which is going to be discussions about the Escambia Children's Trust and the legal matters and how those get resolved or not in the shade meeting. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are still under dense fog advisory, so drive with caution through the roadways this morning. If you are heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see some slowdowns just past the 87 intersection and heading into Windhaven Beach. And if you are in Pace or Milton, you can expect to see some buildup on Woodbine, but Chemukla does look clear, so if you're looking for an alternate route, you can take that intersection as well. If you see anything else on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
I have detention slips here and I'm not afraid to use them.
Make you happy when a bass is featured prominently in the opening of a cool song, Jimmy?
Yes, that it's makes me feel like I have purpose.
Validation?
Yeah, validation.
Okay. 658 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Donald Trump will be back in court today for his trial in New York. Before those proceedings, the judge is expected to hear more accusations of Trump's alleged gag order violations. He's already been found in contempt for that and been threatened with jail time. The FDA says cottage cheese and sour cream, Andrew, are still safe to eat. This is after the bird flu was found in dairy cows recently. The agency said that it's conducted tests on 300 pasteurized retail dairy products after traces of the virus were found in the commercial milk supply, and it is still safe.
I just would assume that pasteurization would solve any of that, but, I mean, maybe I'm thinking about bacteria instead of virus. I mean, I don't know. I would think it would even be enough to solve for the viral issues potentially. So, but I guess you test it to make sure that's true. I guess.
Yeah,
that's
I would guess
theory.
So. Just another fail-safe.
Fair enough. Thanks for the update. future news, a real quick one. Will they approve the Bay Center $10 million today for tourism development money?
I hope so.
Yeah. That should be a no-brainer.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.